If a friend asks how you're doing, and you say,
I'm okay.
When the truth is,
I don't want my problems to burden anyone.
Or you say,
hang it in there.
Because
if I ask for help, they'll just think I'm weak.
Then this is your sign to call, text, or chat. 988 for free, confidential support. Anytime. You don't have to hide how you feel.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome, Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Wednesday, the 20th of March. Good to have you aboard, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented, as always, by our title sponsor, everything Zaslow Show 2.0. None of this is possible without Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. If you've been involved in an accident, you get the compensation you deserve when you go to the best accident attorneys around. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. So glad to have you guys here today. Hope you caught me on Driving the Line this morning, your sports betting brand of record. You can go to youtube.com/@drivingtheline. That's my man, Jonathan Coachman. That's his brand. So you go check that out. Subscribe to all that. I'm on every Monday with those guys. I'm part of the crew. I'm on every Monday with those guys. And sometimes I do an extra day a week. So we did today. That's why Zaslow Show 2.0 coming at you slightly later than normal today. But that's okay. You're still digesting it. I still love you long time. I appreciate you. And the tournament is here. The tournament is here. And where are you going to get all the action? Bet Online. Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season, with the best bracket contest out there, odds, lines, info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices, and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to the Bet Online site today. Get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, and that gets you your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Now, yesterday, we didn't get to Twitter Jam. That's okay. We had an action-packed show yesterday. Talked a lot about the tournament. We went over lines and all that. We had our pal Nick Costos yesterday. Myron Medcap from ESPN College Game Day joined us as well. So if you missed any of that, you can always go back, listen to past episodes wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to watch interviews, I always post the full interview. We do video, youtube.com/@Zaslow Show. We always post the full video of our interviews, so you can go on there. You can check that out. Make sure you're subscribed and you got the notification bell on, especially so you know when we're doing live streams of my pro wrestling show. It's still real to me. All right, so yesterday, we were heavy on the guests. And today, by the way, we're going to go over tournament stuff. Our pal Mark Zinno, he does weekends on ESPN Radio. He's got the winning plays. Zinno will join us here, and we'll get some plays for the tournament, which officially gets going tomorrow. I mean, I understand he had a couple games last night, which, so, by the way, let's just get right after it. Let's get to what happened last night. Good way to start now. Last night, that is not the first round. Remember the one year they called those play-in games or the first four? I think they call it opening round. They called it the first round. That's an abomination. First round starts tomorrow. Everybody, you better get your sleep. You better get your sleep because tomorrow it's an action-packed day of the tournament. The madness never fails. I'm very excited. And I'm hosting game night on ESPN Radio tomorrow night and Friday night. So how about that? All the tournament action, and then I get to do all the reacting on game night. So there you go. This is a very big week for your boy. All right, so what happened last night? Howard had chances late in the game. Two number 16s going at it. Wagner holds on against Howard, 71-68. They are in the NCAA tournament officially. And this game was a vomit. Colorado State crushes Virginia, 67-42. This Virginia is a vomit. It's been going on far too long. We know, what was it, 4 years ago, I think it was? 2019, I believe it was. They became the first ever number one to lose to a 16. And then the next year, they won the whole thing. And Purdue's actually in that spot now, excuse me, because Purdue became the second ever number one seed last year, losing to Fairleigh Dickinson to lose to a 16. They're now a number one seed this year. Again, are they going to do the same thing Virginia did? Like, I saw this one note on Twitter where it was, all number one seeds who have ever lost to a 16 have come back and won the NCAA tournament the next year. Will Purdue be the next one to do this? Yeah, it's only happened one other time. So this Virginia team, though, they are a vomit. I put the game on in the second half because I pay attention to the opening round games, like on the periphery. I'm not tuning in to watch two number 16s go at it or two number 10s go at it. I don't care. Like, I want to know what's happening, fine. And then I saw my homegirl, Trista Crick. I know all you Heat fans, you hate Trista Crick. She's a good girl. I saw Trista Crick tweet out, is Virginia going to score more than 14 points tonight? Because the last, like, 10 minutes of the first half, they went scoreless. And so she tweets out, is Virginia going to score more than 14 points today? I was like, what the fuck? And so I put the game on. And this is a vomit, this right here. So I watched a little bit of it, kind of like watching a car crash. And then I got to get this shit off my team. I need this at Virginia basketball. I need it out of my life. And so I switched over. I put on Captain America Civil War. Great movie. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? So that's what we did last night. All right. But you got Colorado State advancing. You got Wagner advancing. And away we go. You got two more games tonight. As far as the NBA last night, I got three games that caught my eye yesterday. Orlando beat Charlotte 112-102. Why did that catch my attention? The Magic, like, very quietly just go about their business and keep winning. And if it's the Knicks and Magic in the first round, see, I'll be conflicted for a Knicks-Magic first round matchup. Why, Zaslow? Don't you hate both those teams? I know we're supposed to hate the Magic. I just think the Magic are stupid. They're like a nothing franchise. They've never done anything to me for me to hate them. You know, they're a nothing. And I'm conflicted who I want to win because I could see myself rooting for the Magic to win some playoff games, to win a playoff series. But I kind of want to see the Knicks play the Celtics in the second round. Anyway, I'd be conflicted. I'd be interested in that series. But the reason I bring this up, Paolo Banchero is awesome. Have you ever heard of a number one overall pick in the NBA draft? And this shows you how much of a nothing Orlando is. Paolo Banchero not only was the number one overall pick, but went to Duke. That's super high profile. He's awesome. And he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, which is be the best player on a bad franchise and, you know, lead them now to being a good team. And no one talks about the Magic, and no one talks about Paolo Banchero. It's weird to me. New Orleans beat Brooklyn 104-91. Zion's amazing, had a sick alley-oop last night. Brooklyn's one of those disappointing teams in the NBA this year. I think Sean Marks is going to be fired after this season. He's done an awful job in Brooklyn. There's no other way to put it. And you piggyback what's happened this season with the disaster, which was allowing Kevin Durant and really Kyrie Irving to run your franchise. The Harden trade, Ben Simmons, he never plays. Sean Marks is going to be fired after this season. I mean, I already predicted how, you know, going into the All-Star break, I specifically said, Jacques Vaughn is going to get fired. And like 2 days later, Jacques Vaughn got fired. Sean Marks is next. He's going to be fired. And finally, Denver beat Minnesota last night, 115-112. Matchup a couple of the bigs in the Western Conference. This Minnesota team, you feel bad because they're clear, even though you haven't seen it, they're clearly a contender. They're hanging around with Denver last night, putting up a real good fight, minus Towns. Hopefully, excuse me, he can get back in some kind of realistic fashion for the playoffs. I don't know that he's going to be back for the first round. And if they're facing, like, the Clippers in the first round, they're going to lose if they're not at full strength, if they don't have Towns. So, anyway, that right there is a little bit of what happened last night. Now, as far as the Heat go, the Heat tonight, they are in Cleveland. They are taking on the Cavaliers. Jimmy Butler, I think he's questionable. He's an upgrade to questionable. Duncan Robinson's day-to-day, he was sent home. He's got a back issue. He was sent home. He's day-to-day. He's obviously not playing tonight. Jovic is questionable tonight. Bam is questionable tonight. Now, Donovan Mitchell's out, as well as Evan Mobley. So, nobody's playing in this game tonight. I don't know what to tell you. I'm obviously going to be locked into it, but this game could wind up being ugly. Now, you know what else is ugly? When you get terrible sleep and you wake up in the morning, you look ugly. Nobody wants to look ugly. And the best way that I could tell you to make sure you get the best sleep is to sleep on Sheets and Giggles. That's right. Sheets and Giggles. They've been a sponsor on Zaslow Show 2.0 for almost a year now. My man Colin, the founder and CEO of Sheets and Giggles, I tweeted at him yesterday. A big congratulations. He's coming down here in a few weeks. He's getting married. And even while getting married, he's still making sure we all get the best sleep of our life, and we're doing it in an environmentally friendly way with the wood from eucalyptus trees. Go to SheetsGiggles.com. You pick up those eucalyptus pillowcases, blankets, the fitted sheets. I got a eucalyptus comforter. I sleep on a eucalyptus pillow. If you're in need of a mattress, what better time than now to pick up yourself a eucalyptus mattress? And if it's your first time ever on SheetsGiggles.com, use promo code Zaslow, you'll get 20% off your first order. I mean, come on, 20 mattresses can be expensive. I'm getting you 20% off. Whatever you order, your first time at SheetsGiggles.com, use promo code Zaslow, 20% off. And it's the only place you're ever going to shop for your bed sheets now. You're going to become one of over 100,000 Americans sleeping on Sheets and Giggles and never turning back. SheetsGiggles.com, the softest, coolest, most breathable sheets around. Use promo code Zaslow, SheetsGiggles.com. So, yesterday, we didn't get a chance to get to Twitter Jam because we were guest heavy. We usually do Twitter Jam on Tuesdays. But listen, I run this show here. I mean, obviously, I got a whole team of people over here who help me out putting the show together every day, but I essentially have final say, so you know what? Let's do Twitter Jam today. Come on. So this week's edition of Twitter Jam deals with, believe it or not, the Marlins. Yeah, that's right, the Marlins. But not really the Marlins, more specifically, Jazz Chisholm, Marlins center fielder. Now, you know how I feel about Jazz. He's a fun player, but if Jazz Chisholm's your best player, your team sucks. And that's why all these years, or I say last few years, when Jazz Chisholm has been your best player, the Marlins suck. So I like Jazz. But he can't be your best guy. He's fun to watch. He's a good player. Not great. He's a good player. Well, Jazz Chisholm was on a show called Pivot. And He got to talking about several different things. So today's Twitter jam, Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark from ESPN. I guess he's one of the hosts of Pivot. And Ryan Clark, he tweets out, Kobe Bryant was Jazz Chisholm's favorite athlete, and all of his dreams were about to come true. It was the morning of January 26, 2020. Jazz Chisholm was on his way to Mamba Academy to sit with his idol when he learned Kobe and Gigi's helicopter crashed. Here's the video he attached.
Kobe was my number one idol, Kobe Bryant. I go to LA, I go to the Mamba Academy, and this was like 2 days before he died. I went to the Mamba Academy and I met him, right? And I wanted to ask him some questions, but he said he had to go. And the next day, I go to the Grammy, the Roc Nation Grammy brunch thing. That was cool. And then, like, I'm so excited because the next day, Sunday, I'm supposed to go and talk to Kobe. Like, it's like, okay, my dream is about to come through. I'm about to meet my idol, about to talk to my idol. The helicopter crash happens, right? I call Derek Jeter on the phone, crying. Like, I call Derek Jeter, and I'm like, bro, I was just supposed to meet Kobe, and he just died. Like, that's my idol. You got to step up. Exact words to Derek Jeter. That's exactly what I told him. Because he told me that I'm supposed to be his shortstop of the future. I called him after my idol died, and I said, you got to step up to be my idol. And from that day on, he literally treated me like his son.
All right, so there you go. You get a little insight into Kobe being his favorite athlete. Ridiculous, lousy timing. I mean, can you imagine you're about to meet your favorite athlete ever? You're a young guy, and you find out when you're on your way there that he died? Like, that's crazy. The latter part there about Jazz, loving Jeter so much and Jeter being your idol and now wanting Jeter essentially to be your father. I can't co-sign all of that. I can't stand Derek Jeter. He was a massive bum when he was here. Set the Marlins back. I mean, look, the Marlins are a bum-ass franchise anyway, and Bruce Sherman stinks. But Derek Jeter was awful when he was here. Awful. And we know that Jazz Chisholm was Jeter's guy. He made the trade. So you know Jazz is going to love Derek Jeter, especially because they also played the same position. Jazz was a shortstop before he got moved to center field. But, I mean, Jeter's best move was acquiring Jazz Chisholm, but his best move was a trade that the Marlins lost. They traded away Zach Gallen. Zach Gallen is a Cy Young candidate every year. And Jazz is a nice player. He's not great. So Jeter's best move was acquiring Jazz Chisholm, who's good, but the Marlins lost out on that trade. Anyway, so that's the light part of some of the clips that are coming out from this show called Pivot. And now we get to the juicy stuff, all right? So this tweet here is from Foul Territory. They are they're a Major League Baseball show. Every day, Monday through Friday, it's probably a YouTube kind of deal. Foul Territory, all right. And they tweet out, Jazz Chisholm tore into anonymous veterans for their leadership style with younger players on the Marlins in years past. Here's the clip they attached.
Like, you ain't supposed to have a vet that's trying to bring down the rookies, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I was that guy that got in trouble so much because when I saw other rookies getting bring down by the vets, I was the one fighting the vets. That was the problem. Like, I was already a team leader without being called a team leader. But the vets, you can't be a team leader when you got guys in the clubhouse that's been in there for 9-10 years, even though they suck. They've been there for 9-10 years,
yeah.
And the team calls them the team captain, but, like, they're not a good captain. They're not a good person. You're not even a good athlete at this point. Yeah. You're just here, yeah. And you're bringing down the young guys that are supposed to be good. Bro, like, I watched someone get called up to the big leagues, supposed to be, like, top three prospects on our team, right? He gets up there, hits a homer. Like, first or second at bat, hits a homer, right? His next at bat, he goes and does the Juan Soto shuffle, right? Like, he's a kid. His favorite player is Juan Soto. He just got to the big leagues. Tell me why he comes in the dugout after he walks, get around the bay, comes in the dugout after these vets sit on the side of him and start yelling at him, saying, bro, you're not Juan Soto, bro. You shouldn't be doing that. Juan Soto is an all-star, da-da-da-da. You can't be doing that. Bro, what do you mean? He's having fun, bro. We playing a fucking kids games.
Yeah.
Like, that's when I step in and say, bro, y'all better back up off this boy, bro. This man is starting. He's playing every day for us. Why are y'all in his face? Y'all don't even play every day.
Yeah.
What's up? Like, get off my man's, bro. He's supposed to be helping us win when y'all bringing him down. Yeah. And then after that, 0 for 50, 30-some strikeouts.
All right, so this to me, this is interesting, all right? Because this to me, it confirms everything I think we already knew about. He's obviously talking about Miguel Rojas, former Marlins captain. Now, is he talking about other veterans there as well? I mean, he says veterans, but he's talking about Miguel Rojas, former Marlins captain. And we pretty much already, like, at least if you follow the team, we knew all this about Miguel Rojas. Jazz is just confirming it here without actually saying Miguel Rojas' name. And good for Jazz Chisholm, because that always bothered me about Miguel Rojas. You know, and I think is he talking about Jesus Sanchez there? I think in that clip, maybe. But this always bothered me about Miguel Rojas. He was all high and mighty with this team. You play this way. This is the right way. This and that. It's one thing to do that, you know, when you're the Atlanta Braves and you're awesome all the time, or you're the St. Louis Cardinals and you're awesome all the time. Can you imagine? You're a young kid who's got swag, like Jazz Chisholm, and you walk into the Marlins clubhouse, and then you got Miguel Rojas, who is as average as it gets, who tells you, this isn't the way we do things around here, and then you realize, isn't the way you do things around here? This team has been awful. This team is a joke for years. What are you talking about? Maybe if that's not the way you do things around here, maybe you change things a little bit, the way that you do things around here. Like, how ridiculous is that? That Miguel Rojas, who, like I said, as average a player as there is, he had one really good year for the Marlins. It was in the COVID-shortened year 2020. He played in 40 games that year. Not even 60. Played in 40. He was awesome in those 40 games. But that's not how baseball works. That's a quarter of a season. Anyone can be awesome in a quarter of a season. Miguel Rojas was awesome for that quarter of a season. Otherwise, Miguel Rojas stunk. And you go look what he's doing right now in spring training, and you look at what he did last year with the Dodgers. Miguel Rojas stinks. And if you're the captain of a terrible team and you're not any good yourself, I don't know. Maybe we shake things up a little bit. Because I would also say the Marlins, like Jazz Chisholm now, I'm not excited about the Marlins at all this season. How can you be? Why would you be? But now, you know what? And this is about stuff that happened before this season, way before this season. But now, all right, I feel like the Marlins got a little bit of juice to them. You know, give me something to be excited about. Clearly, Jazz Chisholm cares. Now I got a little something to latch onto. I got something to sink my teeth into. I'm more excited now about Jazz and the Marlins. Give me something if you're the Marlins. Give me anything. And now, so I like Jazz coming out and saying all this. I'm like, okay, all right. You know what? Now Jazz has got to back it up. And maybe he will. But give me something to get excited about. I think we all knew this about Miguel Rojas. Like I said, when he first started talking, like, oh, I mean, obviously Miguel Rojas, we know this. You know, remember they had that one team meeting, which apparently it came out to just Miguel Rojas and the veterans just dressing down Jazz. And it's like, this is the only exciting player on the team. And let's be honest here. You know, like, someone sent me a message on Twitter yesterday. You know, why does this kind of stuff happen with, you know, the not wanting the players to have fun and that kind of deal? And I told him, I go, look, there's a lot to it, but there is usually a major racial component to it. Now, obviously, Miguel Rojas is Latino, but it's always the black players, like Jazz. It's always the Latino players, like whoever, pick whoever you want. There's a very racial element to those guys who come from places, whether you're talking Colombia, Puerto Rico, the Dominican, they play baseball a certain way there. They play it with fun. They play it with swag. It's an exciting style. The young black player, even here, in the United States, they want to play the game with swag. They want to have fun. And you got this old guard, this super crusty old guard, which is usually the white players, and they don't like seeing it. There is a very racial component to it. There is a cultural difference to this. So there's a lot there, but yeah, that has a lot to do with it. And I'm not saying that was the case in this instance, because Miguel Rojas obviously is Latino, you know, Jazz is black, but usually there that has a lot to do with it as well. All right, how about Doomsayer, which is Mr. Bill? We like Mr. Bill, and he reacts to that video. Dog, Jazz torched Miguel Rojas. This is hilarious. Yep, he certainly did. Fish on First. We like Fish on First. They cover the Marlins, and they tweet out here. Jazz Chisholm goes deep on Miguel Rojas feud. Quote, our team captain tried to get me out of here. And they, have a podcast, which they embedded in that. And here, this is from Calico Joe. What's his deal? What does Calico Joe do? It seems like he just talks about baseball, likes baseball. And he tweets here, Jazz Chisholm Jr. is finally able to talk on the internal BS he dealt with his first 2 years in Miami. Seems like it's therapeutic for him. Also, Miguel Rojas seems like a major clubhouse jackass for a dude with a career 82 OPS plus. Totally agree. Totally agree. If you're the captain of the team, you can't be shouting down top prospects when you stink, and more importantly, your team stinks. All right. Now things continue to get interesting here, right? Because David Sampson, former Marlins president, not at the time of any of this, he's on the outside looking in. Here's David Sampson's Levitard show. They tweet out, quote, for him to say that Miguel Rojas is a bad person is incredibly disingenuous. What have you done, Jazz? Nothing. And that's a quote from David Sampson. Strong words for Marlins center fielder Jazz Chisholm. And here's the clip they attached.
Let me address something right now. In the hundreds, if not thousands of players I had in my career, Miguel Rojas is one of the best people I have come across. So for him to say that Miguel Rojas is a bad person is incredibly disingenuous. Two, what have you done, Jazz? Nothing. You're not a team leader. You didn't walk in there as a team leader. The only thing that didn't happen to you is you're lucky that Conine and Lowell and some of the other players weren't there when you got there, because they would have kicked your ass and that would have been the end of you. It is so unbelievable that he did this, and there will be ramifications. He's not going to walk into spring training today and everyone's going to be all jolly. That is divisive. It's wrong. Regardless of your view of Miguel Rojas and his talent on the field, he was named the captain because of the respect that the team has for him and that the league has for him. Jazz, you've never even played 100 games except once. The fact that you were on the cover of the show, thank Uncle Derek. That's the only reason you got that. I'm embarrassed for the Marlins right now.
Yeah, I understand there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way to go about things, but having fun, having swag, trying to have a good time out there playing a kid's game, like Jazz says, they're wearing jewelry. I don't know. These are and again, if your team is terrible, maybe shaking things up a little bit, not the worst thing. And look, I like David Sampson. I enjoy his content. I credit David Sampson, obviously, with, you know, getting the ballpark down in Little Havana. I know a lot of people hate all that. I like it because it meant that baseball was staying here. I'm good with David Sampson. I enjoy David Sampson. I understand how he rubs people the wrong way and people think he's an asshole. Like, can't defend. I totally get that. But I like David Sampson. But you want to talk about disingenuous. David Sampson being embarrassed for the Marlins? Come on. That's a little bit disingenuous. Finally, Petty Mahomes. Who's Petty Mahomes? It's just a fan, I guess. And he says here, in response to David Sampson, same guy that said the Marlins season would fall apart last year when Jazz returned from injury because he was such a locker room cancer. Can't blame him for defending his friend Miggy Rowe, but we all see what's happening here. Yeah, maybe. Sampson did say that. And Jazz came back and the team got better. Because he's a good player. Not great. If he's your best player, your team sucks. But Jazz is a good player. Sampson was wrong. And yeah, Sampson's obviously tight with Miguel Rojas. That's very obvious. But embarrassed for the Marlins here? I'm proud of Jazz for what he did there. I feel better about Jazz and the Marlins, especially that Miguel Rojas is gone. But we all knew this, if you paid any kind of attention to the Marlins. We knew all this with Miguel Rojas. You just had Jazz Chisholm confirm all of it. And that right there is another edition of Twitter Jam. You know what else you feel really good about, guys? Man, whenever you're thinking about getting a new ride, you know exactly where I'm sending you. I feel so good when I send you to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Because when I send you to North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, I know that you're getting the best deal around. I know that whatever you're looking for, you're going to find at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. There's a lot to love at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru this month with incredible offers on all new Subarus in stock, as well as every pre-owned vehicle on their lot. Right now at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, you can make zero down payment, make zero payment for 3 months, and zero security deposit. I mean, what are we talking about here? North Fort Lauderdale Subaru has incredible offers like Subaru's A Lot to Love event going on right now through April 1st. You can lease the 2024 Subaru Crosstrek Premium for just $199 a month for 36 months with $54.95 due at signing with approved credit. You can go to nflsubaru.com for full details. nflsubaru.com. Whether you're looking for a relaxed indoor car shopping experience or you just want to have your current vehicle serviced, you're going to be treated like royalty at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. And you know what? They service all makes and models. So whatever you're driving right now, you're going to get serviced with confidence at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. NFLSubaru.com. You could search your entire inventory from the comfort of your home right now. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba. European roots with that Caribbean soul. A refreshing German lager in a can. Pick up a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's how you're going to enjoy the tournament starting tomorrow. Your local Sedanos, Presidente, Winn-Dixie, Fresco y Mas. Make sure you always drink responsibly. And don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. Joining us now is our pal. Good to see. I saw him last week in New York City. Good to see him here again. Our pal is Mark Zinno. You hear him on ESPN Radio, certainly on the weekends. Zinno, good to see you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. We're going to get some picks. We're going to get some winning plays from you here. But first, when you see the tournament is coming around, like tomorrow, what is your first memory of the tournament? You're a kid. The first time you noticed, oh, shit, this is like a really cool event.
The two that stand out are Santa Clara beating Arizona as a 15-2 back in the early 90s. That was, I think, the first time it had happened. Bryce Drew Valpo.
Yeah.
That was Bryce Drew Valpo was the, they made such a huge deal of that. I mean, look, it got him drafted. Nobody knew who Bryce Drew was until he played a couple of games in March and it got him drafted. And he was not really any good in the NBA at all because he wasn't an NBA player, but a couple of GMs went, "Whoa, we can use that guy. Yeah. That's really good. Look how big he came up." Yeah. Well, you know,
It got the entire Drew family on the map.
Yes, that it did.
Yeah. 100%. My favorite, I was talking about this yesterday too. Like the first time that I really noticed the tournament, early 90s, I think it was 91, when Duke finally beat UNLV. It was like a really big deal. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Yeah. That was like the first time it stuck with me.
I grew up in New York, so college sports weren't a thing, right? New York's a pro sports town, so I didn't care other than St. John's. I didn't care about, you know, college basketball. I vaguely remember the Duke UNLV, the Running Rebels and Jerry Tark. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing like a lot about it, but I never paid attention. It wasn't until I got into like high school age where I really was like, okay, now this is a big deal.
What is your favorite Cinderella story from the tournament?
I mean, that's a wow. I mean, I don't go to like George Mason or any of those things. I'm more of like, look, watching the Terps win the title in 2002 for Gary Williams was pretty awesome. It's not a Cinderella. They were, I think, a one seed or a two seed. But
well, and remember Juan Dixon right at the buzzer in the first weekend? Otherwise, yeah. It all doesn't happen.
Right. I thought that was pretty cool because I was living in Maryland at the time. I thought Villanova's run a couple of years ago with Jay Wright, you know, was a lot of fun to watch. You know, I mean, I look at those kind of things more than – you know, Cinderella's are great stories, but unless you win it all, it's like, you know, I mean, Cinderella eventually got with Prince Charming. It's like she just went to the ball and we never heard from her again. Like, you know, she eventually got married to Prince Charming. And if you don't, I'd rather talk about the champions and the runs that, you know, were nice, but cute, but never really lasted.
Do you root for just nonstop madness? Because I like a little bit of madness, but if there's nonstop madness, you don't get all the good teams in the Sweet 16. No, like I want the really good matchup.
That's why I've always said that for years. I don't need, you know, when Butler came around, like I didn't need Butler in the Final Four against Duke. Nobody cared because it's Butler, right? Like There was the
you must have hated last year.
There was the argument last night about, Virginia, why don't we just pick a feisty mid-major? I saw somebody on Twitter say, I'm like, you don't need a feisty mid-major. Just pick the qualified team like St. John's or Seton Hall, and this is fine. Like, you know, I don't need the Cinderellas. I don't need the small schools. I don't care. I'd rather see the big power programs play each other. I think it's a better product. I think you get a better brand of basketball. Again, these runs are nice, but now as you do more and more sports betting, I want less and less variance. I'd like to know and predetermine the outcome as best I can before some guy nobody's ever heard of who shot 27% net in his high school games and somehow was a walk-on somewhere going off for 6 for 8 from three-pointers and changing the scope of a game. You know, it's when I want to jump through the TV screen and tackle that guy and you just get him off the court. Somebody take a bat to his knee so we can win this damn game. Yeah, so less variance for me is better in my line of work now.
Mark, that Virginia was a vomit last night. I had to turn it off. I need this shit out of my life.
I mean, I said, makes my eyes bleed. I'd rather watch my parents have sex. Like, it's just, you know, it was that appalling to watch them try to play offense. I was very vociferous on Twitter about Virginia being a joke and that the committee absolutely got that wrong ahead of time. I will say this. I'll caveat it by saying, look, what you do in the tournament does not validate or invalidate whether you belong there, right? Like, those are two separate events that are not tied together, although people want to tie them together. Same thing with the college football playoff. You know, team gets in, they get smoked in the first round in the semi. Oh, they shouldn't have been in. No, those two teams are not related whatsoever. There was no way to know when the season started and going through who the opponent was going to be in that round. So, but I think they got it wrong on Virginia, clearly. Again, St. John's is 25th in KenPom, the highest team to be left out of this thing in favor of Virginia, who's in the 40s. Like, stop. Like, come on. It was pretty obvious they were better teams. So it's okay. It's still going to be a good tournament. And you know, we're still going to have a lot of excitement. Although it's wide open this year. And I think that actually leaves us to more chalk than upset.
Why is that?
Because, you know, across the board, the talent level kind of is leveled off a little bit. With all the major power programs due to the transfer portal and everybody moving around, there's not really like a, you know, other than what you see from UConn and maybe one or two other teams, it's not really like a dominant team. So we think it's wide open from a championship perspective. But the depth of talent for all those teams across the board is a lot better because guess what's not really happening? You know, there aren't a lot of guys transferring down to schools now when they can transfer across, right? Used to transfer down because you couldn't play. Now I can transfer within the same conference and go play there. I can go to another equal level conference and go play there. So, you know, the idea of getting guys, i.e. again, where I went to Loyola, Maryland, getting guys from Maryland to come play at Loyola, getting guys from UConn to go play at Vermont, right? Like, it doesn't work that way. The guys from UConn, now they go play at Seton Hall, right? Because I could start on Seton Hall. I can't start on UConn. You know, the guys at Maryland, I can't play there. I'll just transfer to Rutgers. I'll go play there. You know, they're not done. So I just think that there aren't that really – all these sexy mid-majors this year's as, they're not impenetrable. You know, James Madison, College of Charleston, Vermont, you know, I mean, there's a lot of these teams out there that I just don't think really, without getting a really bad performance from their opponent, I don't think they get by. Remember last year, all four 12 seeds had won, right? So you're not getting that again. Right. I think you probably get two, if not three, 5 seeds that advance. Only one of them gets by, although James Madison is on the short list.
All right, let's do some picks then. Let's start out with some games for tomorrow. Give me some of your better plays, man. Let's make that money. Come on.
Mississippi State. Izzo in March is a thing that I don't believe in. It's not really true. Why? Because he's 24-23-1 against the number since 2006 in March. So, again, now, for him to cover this number, he's just got to win the game, right? It's a one-point spread, so it's not going to matter. But this is a Mississippi State team, and I think that if you watched him play against Auburn, they were really gritty. They were able to take a very talented, very complete Auburn team and push them to the limit for 40 minutes. Their defense is what sells me. Michigan State lives and dies by the three, and if they're not hitting them, forget about it. They're dead in the water. One of my favorite plays, my biggest play for the weekend, will be Drake. Yes, the Drake, who ended up beating Indiana State in the Missouri Valley and taking over that conference. But that is a complete mismatch for – so many games. Why does it slip my mind who they're playing?
Washington State.
Thank you, Washington State. I knew it wasn't a very good team. It's a complete mismatch for Wazoo. Like, it just doesn't work out well. Drake does so many things well on the offensive end. When you talk about their top 40 in the country in adjusted offensive efficiency, effective field goal percentage, three-point shooting, two-point shooting, free throws, like, the Cougars have no margin for error. If they're not hitting at 45% above, guess what? Drake's just going to start to pull away with them. They don't play super fast, Drake, but they share the hell out of the basketball. They are one of the best assist teams in the country, and they don't turn the ball over. They're 14th in the country in turnover percentage on offense. A big pick-and-roll team. It'll create open shots for them. I don't think Washington State has really the sort of chutzpah to keep up in this thing here. So I really like Drake. I'm playing BYU in the first half. And the reason I'm doing that is, again, when you get these teams that live and die by the three, like BYU does, they're taking on a Duquesne team from the A-10 that, you know, obviously people can't spell Duquesne, let alone where it is or even watch the basketball game against them. So, but this is a BYU team that lives and dies by the three. You'll know early on whether they're going to struggle this whole game or they're going to get out to a big lead and force a Duquesne offense that isn't that great to try and play catch up, right? Like I have this saying, I say it all the time. If they ain't covering early, they ain't covering late. And, you know, when it comes to laying eight and a half, I jumped in early and got it at four. It's probably 4.5, if not five now for BYU for the full, for the first half, closer to 9 for the game. But if they're struggling to hit from three early, guess what? All the momentum's with Duquesne. Like, yes, there is a game script where they could struggle for the first 20 minutes and then come out and go, you know, 8 of 11 in the second half from three, sure, but that's typically not what happens. Teams that are hot from the beginning usually stay hot and tail off towards the end, or, you know, they're pretty consistent throughout the entire game. They just have a hot hand and go there. So those are my games for Thursday.
Friday.
If you want to look to Friday here,
yeah,
card's getting a little bit bigger. San Diego State will be another first half bet for me against UAB. This is another one of these 5-12 matchups. Look, let's just look at this objectively. Like, UAB isn't a real true 12 seed. Let's just say for argument's sake that the team that won the American was South Florida, right? The team that was there all year long. South Florida might have garnered an 11 seed, right? I don't think they would have garnered a 10 because they're just not that good. But if the American was kind of slotted right there, that's a different contest. UAB didn't even have to face FAU in the finals. They beat Temple to get here. This team does not belong in this tournament at all. They're a bad defensive team, the Blazers. They're 202nd in the country in defensive adjusted efficiency. And the teams in the Mountain West that are that level or worse, San Jose State, Fresno State, Wyoming, and Air Force. Zaz, in a sample size, SDU won those games by an average margin of 77 to 59. So they won by 16 points, or 18 points, rather. I just don't see how UAB offensively can keep up. They have not seen a team defensively like San Diego State. The best two teams in the American defensive-wise are 38th and 58th in just a defensive efficiency. San Diego State's ninth. Like, we're at a completely different level here. Yeah. San Jose State only allows 31 points in the first half. So in case they're not playing well and San Diego State's clunky offense at times isn't off to a fast start, I still feel pretty good about only having to lay three here, right? It's one possession. You know, they could literally be tied, chuck up a three at the end of this thing. I could walk out of there with a push, right? So, you know, get the number really kind of is what enticed me. I think San Diego State covers the game anyway, all the way out. But in case they start out a little bit clunky, I played the first half just because the number told me to do it. I thought really like it was advantageous when I got a three for a 6.5, 7-point spread. New Mexico, -2 over Clemson. ACC is way overvalued with the exception of Duke and North Carolina. They are a team that isn't very good, and New Mexico is. New Mexico is going to just beat them on both ends of the floor. We get a short number here, and I'm going to tell you that the 10 seed is a 2-point favorite over the 7 seed. Speaking of ACC, Duke, I'm going to lay the 11.5 or the 12 with them. Like, I don't think Vermont really has an answer for Kyle Filipowski. Not many people do, but they're just going to get outsized and out-athleted. That's not a word, but you get my point, right? Like, Duke athletes all around are just going to be phenomenally better. The America East doesn't even present anything remotely close to this. I know Vermont is that team that we always see in the NCAA tournament every year, and they win a game here and there. They upset somebody. This is not like a Vermont team like we've seen in years past that shoots the hell out of the three, gets up and down and runs. They're just not the same team that we've seen in years past. And I think that's a common mistake a lot of people when they do their brackets make. Oh, yeah, Vermont's been here. I've seen them win games before. Yeah, that's a different team, guys. Like, you can't just look at the jersey and go, oh, it's going to be exactly the same. That's not how it works. So I think Duke, it's the one big spread I'm willing to lay. I think Duke absolutely ends up covering this number. They should be up by eight. If they're not up by double digits at half, I'd kind of be surprised. I think that's how much better they are. And then you ready for the contrarian play of the tournament here?
Yep.
College of Charleston, Alabama, their total, 173.5. It's the highest total that we've seen in 20 years in this tournament, right?
Going under?
Going under, 100%. There are so many things that have to go right for this to hit. And here's the thing about College of Charleston. Like, I know they get up and down. I know they run. I know they could score. One, last year's team was better than this year's team. That's number one. They lost five seniors from last year's team. They're a little bit more inexperienced. That'll show up against a team like Alabama. Two, College of Charleston ain't scoring against the athletes that Alabama has. You got to remember that that's part
of it. They don't defend Alabama. They don't defend.
I understand that they don't defend against SEC-level athletes and SEC-level competition, which was the second or third best conference in the country, not the Coastal, formerly the Colonial. I don't know why. We can't say Colonial anymore. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know if that's why.
They got, you know, it's not the Colonial Athletic. It's Coastal.
Is it because were we offended? Is that why? Is that what happened?
I think that's what happened. Somewhere along the line, the idea of colonists offended people. Anyway, you know, so we don't have 13 colonies. We have 13 coastals. Anyway, moving on. But my political rant over. So anyway, it's not the Coastal Athletic Association. Alabama is still long and fast and athletic. And if you go back to the beginning of the year, for as bad as their defense was, you saw some examples against lesser competition where they were able to play defense. Like, I just think so many things have to go right here. And if you are Nate Oates and you're the head coach of Alabama, like, if you in your first game in this tournament can't defend lesser competition, how do you expect to do it in the second game when theoretically you're playing a five seed? Right? Like, I mean, like, if you can't set a tone for at least 20 minutes where you are better than your opponent defensively by a wide margin, then, I mean, you know, we get so much into tempo and everything else in a game like this, and the public loves the over. So when it first came out, I waited because it started at 171. It ticked up. I think we hit the height of the market. You might see this come back down a little bit by the time we get to Friday and this thing tips off. But again, I say all that to say so many things have to go right, and 1, 2, or 3 minute scoring drought might be enough just to get this thing to go under, right? Like, I mean, you have to make – both teams got to go 80% from the free throw line.
Right.
Both teams got to shoot at least 45% from the field. Both teams got to hit at least 35% of their threes. Like, you're asking a lot just over the course of a 40-minute game to happen. And if College of Charleston gets behind early and is forced to shoot threes, that's a problem. Alabama's still got a really good perimeter defense. They're top 40 in the nation in three-point field goal percentage defense. So because they're lengthy and athletic, they can defend on the perimeter and they can close out quick on guys. So, you know, that blowout game script could be there, and blowouts always go under, right? Because one team is just not doing enough to pull their weight as far as it is. And once Alabama gets a 12-point lead, you know, when we get past the 16-minute timeout, what's going to happen? Dribble, 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 dribble. We're just going to wait. We're going to dribble. We're going to take this thing a little bit slower. And then at 15 seconds, we'll start running our fast-paced offense, right?
All right.
I mean, that's why I said so many things have to go right to get over this number. Kentucky, different story. Florida, different story against Alabama. Those are like-minded opponents. This is a different deal with College of Charleston.
Final four, who you got?
Oh, man. Auburn is at the top of my list. I don't have UConn there. Auburn's at the top of my list. I have a future on Auburn to win the whole thing.
Okay.
So I will put Auburn coming out of the East region. Give me Arizona coming out of the West, although I think North Carolina has a really, really good shot to get there. You can't trust Purdue, so give me Tennessee coming out of the Midwest. And you ready for this?
Yeah.
And I can't say it with any certainty because nobody knows right now what the status of Tyler Kolek is of Marquette. If he is healthy, I think Marquette's coming out of that region. I think Marquette is one of the most complete teams in the country, and Tyler Kolek is one of the best players in the country. The problem is, as I don't think he's playing in round one, and I don't know. I hope he's going to be for round two. If they don't have him, they might be dead in the second round. They might lose to Western Kentucky in the first round without him. Like, that is not out of the realm of possibility. He's that much of this team. But if he is there and he is healthy, I think Marquette is every bit as good as UConn. I said all season long, and I followed the Big East because it was my conference I followed growing up in St. John's. I followed it for years. I thought they were better than UConn. I thought they were maybe a point worse. you know, as far as power ratings are concerned, for us handicappers who power rate their own teams, I only thought they were a point less. I thought they were stride for stride with them. You know, I know they went into the game in Hartford against Connecticut, got blown out by 30. And even the second game without Kolek, they were able to keep it tight for the most part. You know, their game, the game that was at Marquette. So I think they're really, really talented. I just don't know what his status is. If you told me right now he's healthy, I would put a future on Marquette to be in the Final Four and win the national title.
Wow, there you go. All right. Let's do this again in, I don't know, maybe even next week, but certainly before the end of the tournament. I'm trying to get the winning plays here. You did an excellent job, Mark. Tell everybody how they can get more of your plays, where they can read you, Twitter, anything you've got going on. Go ahead.
At Mark Zinno, M-A-R-K-Z-I-N-N-O, both on Twitter and Instagram, and WT.buzz/MZ over at Wager Talk. WT.buzz/MZ over at Wager Talk will get you to where I post all my plays there. So check out Wager Talk, wagertalk.com. And of course, all the videos, the Wager Talk YouTube channel as well, has a lot of great information. All the best handicappers in the country over at Wager Talk will be there for you guys as well. But again, at Mark Zinno, M-A-R-K-Z-I-N-N-O.
Awesome. Excellent job, Mark. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I appreciate it.
You got it, brother. Anytime, Zess.
All right, let's get to it in 3, 2. Excellent job by Mark Zinno. Appreciate him hanging out. You could hear him on ESPN Radio on the weekends a lot as well, so you check his stuff out. Feel like we got a lot of good stuff there. I may have to go back in my bracket and take a look. Maybe make a couple changes. So, excellent job there by Zinno. You know what else is an excellent job? Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal, always brought to us by all the big deals at Caneswear. Have you been to Caneswear in Davie lately? Well, they moved to a new location a few months ago. Same plaza, same great experience, even bigger selection. Everyone knows about Caneswear, the largest selection of Miami Hurricane items in tow. But did you know they carry an amazing selection of all your favorite South Florida pro teams? Items for men, women, kids. Where do you think I get my Panthers gear, my Heat gear, my Dolphins gear? They're all available at the store in Davie. So no matter which South Florida team you root for, best teams, of course, Caneswear is the spot. Miami fans shop. Hats, t-shirts, anything you need for your favorite local team. Caneswear is more than a store. It's an experience. Visit their store in Davie, 2655 South University Drive, or online right now, caneswear.com. Caneswear is the spot, South Florida sports fan shop, where you can get all of the big deals. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. First up here, so Xavien Howard, former Dolphins DB, he was on the OG podcast. That's with Mike Miller, Udonis Haslam. Xavien Howard, he had nothing but nice things to say about Brian Flores.
Brian Flores was like that, bro. I liked it, Flores. Like, I missed Flores.
He get all the this and that in the media, though, but, bro, he was a player coach guy, though. But it was like he came from the Patriots, so it's like he seen greatness from the GOAT. Yeah. He held everybody to a standard.
Yeah.
Like, me and Flores probably wasn't no buddy-buddy this and that, but I respect him.
Yeah.
That's how he came in there. Yeah. That's how he came in there every day. He approached every day the same way. No matter who you is, he going to chew your ass out you ain't doing something right. And he ain't going to dap you up if you're doing something good. You're supposed to do that. Don't worry about it.
We had like a little minor, you know, conversation from time to time about trying to get by and just have conversations with the team and just speak on my journey, leadership, and different things like that. Yeah. So I definitely not surprised to hear what you said about
it. Oh, yeah. Great guy, man. Great guy.
I'm going not a big deal. Look, it makes sense that Xavien Howard would get it. It's like everyone hated Brian Flores, but Brian Flores is a defensive guy. Xavien Howard was a star on defense, had his best years under Brian Flores. The fact of the matter is, Flores expected, you know, coming from New England, Brady, expected Tua to be that right away, apparently, and he almost ruined Tua. So, it makes sense that Flores is going to like him. Not everybody isn't going to, I mean, that Howard will like Flores. Not everybody disliked him, so I'm going not a big deal. Big deal or not a big deal? So, Draymond Green, you know, he's leading that new media. He's got his podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Well, LeBron James, he debuted his podcast with J.J. Redick. It's called Mind the Game. I think it's going to be a bore fest if they're just going to be talking X's and O's basketball. But here's Draymond Green. He's got a bone to pick with LeBron.
I must say I am a little upset that LeBron James is like going on the podcast and he still haven't been on the Draymond Green show. But when it's your own thing, you kind of can't say anything. So I guess I'll live with it for now. Pick the bone with him that I got to pick with him later.
Oh, my God. Wow. I mean, Remember watching the NBA in the 90s when, you know, instead of playing super hard and playing every game every single night, guys were complaining about not appearing on each other's podcasts? Oh, give me a break. This is not a big deal, and it's such a, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so not surprising as to what this game has become today. I mean, these guys are supposed to be rivals, and we're upset that we're not going on each other's podcasts? Oh, give me a break. Big deal or not a big deal? So, after the UVA-Colorado State game last night, the crew there doing the studio show included Wally Szczerbiak. Szczerbiak went off on UVA.
This performance matters by Virginia. I mean, Mountain West completely blew them off the floor. Mountain West, we've been saying, has been completely underseeded. And the way you perform in this tournament, it puts the committee on notice. They made a mistake putting Virginia into the NCAA tournament. Every bracketologist was saying it. They go out and play like this. It's unwatchable basketball the way they played today on national TV. St. John's is sitting there like, we've won 6 out of 7. We're scoring 90 points a game, playing great basketball down the stretch in the Big East. Seton Hall beat Marquette and UConn. They're sitting at home or in the NIT. They should be in this NCAA tournament. Pitt should be in this NCAA tournament.
Or Oklahoma.
Also,
Oklahoma,
the committee made a big mistake by putting this team in the NCAA tournament this year. And it's nothing against Tony Bennett. He's a great national championship winning coach. But his team did not belong on this floor with Colorado State.
Team and teams, 4 of the last times that they played the NCAA tournament, they have lost in the first round of double-digit seeds.
Yep.
So there's a point, there's a question of whether Virginia basketball, the way they play, maybe it's outdated.
Yeah, I'm going big deal. I mean, like I said, that game last night was a vomit. And you know what? We'll piggyback off that this morning on First Take on ESPN. One of my colleagues, Stephen A. Smith, he even took it a step further.
It's not funny. I take no joy in saying this, but if it were me, I'd fire him. Strictly because of being born. Literally. I'm not questioning his ability as a coach at all. He's a national champion, for crying out loud. I'm not questioning his ability as a coach. But you cannot be that boring, that unappealing for so long and get away with it. Let me throw this by y'all, right? Because I had this looked up. Virginia scores 14 points in the first half. They go to final 9:20 of the first half scoreless and the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds of the game without a field goal. So think about that for a second. You go 9 minutes and 20 seconds without scoring anything, a field goal or a free throw, over one half. And then the second half, you went the final 10 minutes and 30 seconds without a field goal. There isn't a level that I've seen that level of atrocity.
Yeah, I'm going big deal. I mean, Stephen A. Smith going on national television calling for the coach to be fired. I mean, I think he's got a point, not necessarily about the firing, but it was such boring basketball. It's been so boring for so long. I mean, do you think students, they look at the prospective players, they're like, yeah, I want to go play for boring UVA? I think it's a big deal. And that right there is another edition of Big Deal or Not a Big Deal, courtesy of where you can get all the big deals. We're talking Caneswear, the spot Miami fans shop no matter what team you're rooting for. You get all your Dolphins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami, Marlins gear. And in Davie, just south of 595 on the west side of University, or go to caneswear.com right now and check it out. Caneswear is the spot, South Florida sports fan shop, where you can get all of the big deals. Yes! All right, how about that? Good job out of everyone putting together a great show today. Appreciate you. Can't do it without all your help and your hard work. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Tomorrow, we got the tournament. There's going to be a lot going on. I'm very excited. Make sure you get your rest tonight. That is, of course, after you watch Heat and Cavaliers. I mean, can we start the show tomorrow with a Heat victory? Shorthanded on the road at the Cavaliers? Let's go. Come on. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. You know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo because more is always brewing.